But you, yourself, my boy, do you know how and why there are produced in the atmosphere of certain planets during trogo auto-egocratic processes the phenomena of Kshatsavakt, Kladsakti, Tenelair, Peshakir, and others, which your favorites call daylight, darkness, cold, heat, and so on? If you do not understand this clearly, I will tell you a little more about it. Although I promise to explain all the fundamental laws of world creation and world existence in detail sometime later, it appears necessary in order to help you grasp what we are getting at and speaking of, and assimilate it in the right way, all I have already told you, it's necessary to touch now, if only briefly, upon questions concerning these cosmic laws. First of all, you must know that everything in the universe, all that was intentionally created and all that has automatically arisen, exists and is maintained solely on the basis of the common cosmic trogo auto-egocratic process. This most great trogo auto-egocratic process was actualized by our endless uni-being when there already existed the most great and most holy Sun Absolute, on which our all-gracious endless creator had and still has the chief place of his existence. This system, which maintains everything that arises and exists, was established by our endless creator to permit the exchange of substances, or reciprocal feeding of everything existing, to proceed in the universe so that the merciless herapass would no longer have its maleficent effect on the Sun Absolute. This most great common cosmic trogo auto-egocratic process is actualized, always, and in everything, on the basis of the two fundamental cosmic laws, the first of which is called the fundamental first order sacred Heptaparaparshanach, and the second, the fundamental first order sacred Triamazakamno. Owing to the action of these two sacred cosmic laws, they first arise from the substance called Ethro-Krilno, under certain conditions, various what are called crystallizations, and from these crystallizations there later arise, also under certain conditions, various large and small, more or less independent, definite cosmic formations. And it is just within and upon these cosmic formations that the processes called involution and evolution take place, of course, also according to the two fundamental sacred laws, and all the results obtained from these processes in the atmospheres, and furthermore, by means of these same atmospheres, blend to assure the actualization of this exchange of substances. Ethernokrilno is the primordial substance with which the whole universe is filled, and which is the basis for the arising and maintenance of everything that exists. In regard to this, objective science declares that everything in the universe, without exception, is material. You should also know that only one cosmic crystallization, known as the omnipresent Akidanok, although also crystallized from Ethernokrilno, has its primary arising from the three holy sources of the sacred Theomertmologos, that is, from the emanations of the Most Holy Sun Absolute. Everywhere in the universe, this omnipresent Okidanok, or omnipresent active element, takes part in the formation of all arisings, both great and small, and is, in general, the principal cause of most cosmic phenomena, and in particular of those proceeding in the atmospheres. So that you may have at least some understanding of this omnipresent Okidanok, let me tell you that the second fundamental cosmic law, the sacred Triamazikamno, consists of three independent forces. That is to say, this sacred law manifests itself everywhere and in everything in the universe, without exception, in three separate and independent aspects. And these three aspects exist in the universe under the following names. The first, the holy affirming. The second, the holy denying. And the third, the holy reconciling. This is why objective science, among other statements about this sacred law and its three independent forces, has the following formulation. A law whose consequences always become the cause of further consequences, and which always functions by means of three independent and quite opposite manifestations latent within it, as properties neither seen nor sensed. Our sacred Theomertmologos, that is, the prime emanation of our most holy Son Absolute, at its very arising, is subject to this same law, and in its further actualizations gives results in conformity with it. The omnipresent Okidanok obtains its prime arising in space, outside the Most Holy Son Absolute, from the blending of these three independent forces into one. And in the course of its further involutions, it is correspondingly changed in the vivifyingness of its vibrations during its passage through what are called the stopenders, or centers of gravity, of the fundamental sacred Heptaparaparshanok. I repeat, the omnipresent Okidanok, among other definite cosmic crystallizations, unfailingly participates in all cosmic formations, both large and small, wherever they arise in the universe, and whatever the external surrounding conditions. This common cosmic unique crystallization, or active element, has several particularities proper to it alone. And it is chiefly owing to these particularities that most cosmic phenomena occur, among others, those we have spoken of that take place in the atmosphere of certain planets. While, as I said, there are several particularities of the omnipresent active element, it will be enough for our present task if we become acquainted with just two of them. The first consists in this. When a new cosmic unit is being concentrated, the omnipresent active element does not blend as a whole with this new arising, nor is it transformed as a whole in any given place in it, as occurs with all other cosmic crystallizations in all these cosmic formations. But as soon as it enters as a whole into any cosmic unit, there immediately occurs in it what is called Jart Klam. That is, it is dispersed into the three fundamental sources from which it arose. Then these three sources, each separately, give rise to the independent concentration of three new distinct formations within the cosmic unit. And in this way, the omnipresent active element actualizes at the beginning of every such new arising, sources for the possible manifestation of its own sacred law of Triamazikamno. It must also be noted that in every cosmic formation, in order to assure the perception and further utilization of this property of the omnipresent active element for the purpose of a corresponding actualization, these separate sources exist and have the possibility of functioning as long as the given cosmic unit exists. And only after the given cosmic unit has been completely destroyed do these holy sources of the sacred Triamazikamno localized in the omnipresent active element Okidanok, reblend to be again transformed into Okidanok, but now with vibrations having a new quality of vivifyingness. As regards the second particularity of the omnipresent Okidanok, also proper to it alone, and which it is now essential to elucidate for our talk on this subject, you will be able to understand this only if you know something about a fundamental second-order cosmic law existing in the universe under the name of the sacred Aioua. This cosmic law may be expressed thus. Every arising, large or small, when in direct touch with the emanations of the Sun Absolute itself, or of any other sun, undergoes a process called remorse, during which each of its parts, issuing from the results of one of the holy sources of the sacred Triamasikamno, revolts, as it were, and criticizes the former unbecoming perceptions and the manifestations taking place at the moment in another part of its whole, a part issuing from the results of another holy source of the same fundamental sacred law of Triamasikamno. The omnipresent active element Okidanok itself is also subject to this sacred process of Aioua, or remorse. And during this sacred process, as long as the action of the sacred Theomertmologus, or the emanation of any ordinary sun, is directly affecting the whole of its presence, the active element separates into its three primordial parts, which then exist almost independently. But when the direct action ceases, these parts blend again to exist once more as a whole. Here, by the way, it will be good to tell you an interesting fact about the strangeness of the psyche of the ordinary three-brained beings on the planet that has taken your fancy, a fact that relates to their scientific speculations, as they call them. During the long centuries of my observation and study of their psyche, I had occasion to remark more than once that although science appeared among them from almost the very beginning of their arising, and like everything else there, periodically reached a more or less high degree of perfection, and though millions of so-called scientists must have arisen among them, not once did the thought enter the head of any one of them, with the single exception of a certain Chinese named Chun Kiltes, about whom I will tell you later in detail, that there is any difference whatever between the two cosmic phenomena they call emanation and radiation. Not one of these sorry scientists has ever realized that the difference between these two cosmic processes is comparable to that which our highly esteemed Mullah Nasruddin once expressed in these words. They are as much alike as the beard of the famous English Shakespeare and the no less famous French Armagnac. To understand more about the phenomena taking place in the atmospheres and about the omnipresent active element in general, you must also know and remember that during the periods when, owing to the action of the sacred Aioua, the process of Jartklam takes place in the Okidanok, there is temporarily released the portion of pure, totally unblended etherochrilno that unfailingly enters into all cosmic formations and serves, as it were, to connect all the active elements of any given formation, and afterwards, when the three principal parts of Okidanok reblend, this portion of pure etherochrilno is restored.